As I was telling you before, I grew up in an old, depressed, post-industrial city in upstate New York. And when I just came from Salt Lake City before I came here, and I had never seen anything like those mountains before in my life. I'd seen mountains in New Hampshire, but they're not as visible because of the pine trees somehow. And I realized that if I lived in that landscape, I would have a different problem entirely as a writer and a different subject matter, because mountains like that, and I think your mountains here too, what I've seen of them, seem to give so much. They're intrinsically majestic and grand, and every time you look at them, you have intimations of immortality or at least a notion of grandeur, while the place I grew up in was bleak and flat, and I felt as if it took me years to begin to love it and to begin to let it be mine and to admit that this was what I had to work with. And even now, I live in the Midwest. It's really flat, and there isn't much to talk about in terms of scenery. It's just kind of flat. This is what I was given, and I think what this did to me, I look upon imagination as a place to live. And this is something I keep coming back to in my work. Imagination is refuge, and how one can take, through imagination, take a world and transform it and make it anything, so that I didn't have to be in Troy, New York. If I didn't want to be, I could be anywhere. This poem is about that, the quality of imagination, and imagination as place. It's called The New Affluence, and the affluence and the richness is the richness of imagination. Let me say we, for I am not alone in this desire to live where the land is neither dramatically flat nor high, where it snows enough to keep the world the bitter white of aspirin. People with such needs grew up snow-belted, rust-belted, in towns like mine, where muscle cars dragged down main streets, and the fountains aigrettes outside the Miss Troy Diner offered welcome hits of pink and blue in a landscape largely the non-color of lard. Our choice was to love or hate the slight reprieves from plainness, the fractious birds, the scrappy trees, and most of all, the things that didn't live or breathe. Factories tearing up the sky with smoke, tugboats sweet as toys along the poisoned river. A budget, if not famine, our lives. Or perhaps a sweepstakes with prizes so slight no one cared to enter. We wouldn't have become susceptible to the tag ends, seconds, as is of experience given better scenery. And we wouldn't have gotten this notion that happiness is mined like ore from rock through efforts of imagination. We the poor, but not in spirit. We the not especially blessed, who working cold hours at dull jobs, drank, gambled, went mad, or grew, anomalous as water, a compound that expands while freezing. Disciples of steam and dust, we take pleasure in considering the glaciers beginning in the clouds, the picnics springing up around the subatomic particles others call the vacuum. And our sensory thresholds, the nerve centers that decide what to let us know, let us know too much, which makes us terrible at parties. We seize upon the slight conflicting rifts in idle chit-chat, the wayward tick behind a smile. It's exhausting and a social hindrance. Twitchers, fainters, cringelings. I'm here to say you'd like it where I live. In this converted bakery, everything's left to the imagination. The golden smell of molten sugar, the customers gazing at pastries baked from scratch into planes and turrets, fanciful as women's hats. A tub of lard, sealed and dated 1900, was the one remaining trace of baking, and we left it sealed, imagining a cache of rancid snow within. The local paper gives advice to liven up our days. Quote, colored tiles at I Spice, look for cotton run-on sales. A blub blub of vinegar adds zip to many dishes. Try it, it's terrific. It was the absence of spectacular views that made us see the sparrow hopping warily as if the ground were strewn with acid. Medieval legend says it hissed, "He lives," to Roman soldiers at Calvary, for which God bound its feet forever with supernatural string. Lacking diversions, we've turned furtive in order to observe it. We toss crumbs while light pours crispest seltzer as peppermint oil through air. The hyacinths need these cold weeks to grow into fragrant vases full only of themselves, their particular being, like everything else. So summer comes to meet us. Soon, children will sell chances on rocks and leaves from sidewalk stands. Children, they think these things are valuable, and we always buy.